this will be our last week on Asagas Gvul. We'll start something new Monday. Anim Hapik B'Charara. So the signature aspect of Asagas Gvul, as I've discussed repeatedly, as you've all seen, is that in all of Chasam Mishpah we discuss imbalancing conflicting rights of the Tevah and the Nitvah. Asagas Gvul is unique in the sense that we're not dealing with two people who have actual rights to something, we're just dealing with the economic interest, the business interest of two people. Neither of them strictly owns the contested right, the contested business, but the question is, who do we stick up for? Do we stick up for incumbents? Do we stick up for the ones who want to start a new business? Do we stick up for the consumers? Whose interest did Chazal favor? So in the last couple of days this week, today, and I'll discuss it again Thursday, I want to discuss one very interesting and very, very common question that comes up all the time today, even people who are not businessmen. It's something which is not really discussed clearly in the early poskim. Almost all the discussions I've seen on it are contemporary poskim. Nevertheless, it is closely related to Asagas Gvul. This is the question. I don't know how to describe the issue. The best term is perhaps do-gooding, meddling with other people's business and tilting the balance in favor of one or the other. A few scenarios, for example. You see Reuven about to walk into a store and buy a microwave for $50. You tell him, that model, you can get exactly the same thing down the street for $40. Or you can get the same price, one with better features. So maybe the new store you're suggesting you go to is Jewish, maybe it's not Jewish. Either way, the first store is not happy because you just cost him a sale. Is that mitzvah? I just saved the consumer money. Is that an avera? I just cost the seller a sale. Maybe it's neutral. Maybe I can do whatever I want. What do you do in such a case? Similar question. You're driving down the street. You see somebody waiting for the bus. You offer him a lift. Sounds great. It's a mitzvah. On the other hand, you just cost the bus driver, the bus company, a passenger. Now, if it's a municipal bus company, its job is to just serve the city. It's not a for-profit endeavor. I don't think it's an issue. But let's say a private company. Somebody's gonna wait for a taxi, wait for a ride he's paying for. You say, oh, I'll give you a lift. And then the taxi just lost the sale. If you already ordered the taxi, then that's a more serious question because he has an obligation to the taxi. But putting that aside, should you do that? Let's say in Lakewood, we used to have a Frum bus. A bus operated by Frum people that would go from Brooklyn to Lakewood, so back and forth. So if you see somebody waiting for the Lakewood bus, you want to drive by, oh, I'm driving to Brooklyn, I'll give you a lift. Is that a mitzvah because you're helping the passenger? Is that an avera because you're hurting the bus company? Is it neutral? So how do we deal with these types of questions? So there are four different perspectives the poskim take, four different sugyas that the poskim discuss in approaching these questions. One of them is Asagas Gvul. That we'll leave for the rest of the week and discuss more perhaps on Thursday. But tonight, I just want to discuss the other issues in addition to Asagas Gvul. There are three other sugyas the post can discuss in trying to figure out whether this is a good idea, a bad idea, or a neutral. One of them is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about an employer who had a shliach, a foreman. He told his shliach, go find me workers, you hire them, I'm willing to pay four zuz a day, four zuz for the job, I'm willing to pay this price, four. The shliach decides he's out to help his boss. The shliach goes to the poelim and say, I want to hire you for three on behalf of my boss. Poelim here, three? Okay, three, it's worth it. They don't know anything about what the Baal Bayis himself offered, they accept three. So the Gemara says, and later they find out that the Baal Bayis is offering four. So halachically speaking, they have no right to four, because since they signed off on the offer for three, they're limited to three. However, they have terumas against the shliach. Terumas, hard to define. Basically, it means they have halachically sanctioned legitimate complaints against the shliach, meaning the shliach did something wrong. Why? So the Gemara explains, because there's a pasuk in Pasuk in Mishle, it says, Al timna tov mi ba'alav, don't withhold good from them who are entitled to it. So the shliach, by meddling and by taking away the fourth zuz from the poelim, he's wronged them, and he should not have done so. So, not actionable, we can't force him to pay, but they have tainus on him, he did the wrong thing. So, the obvious question on the Gemara is, we showed him and Akronim ask, Why? Altima tells me, Bailov, don't act against the interests of the workers, but I'm acting on the interests of the boss. Who said that the interest of the workers is a higher priority than the interest of the boss? Why is it so pashut to the Gemara that the shliach is doing something wrong? So there are three or four approaches we can suggest here. Some are indicated by Rishonim, some are Achronim. One approach is that the Ritva says this lashon, that since the Baal HaBayis already declared, went on record that he's willing to pay four, he could have said, get me the best price. He didn't do so. He simply said four. So he already said he's committing to four. So at that point, don't move away from his four. Some Rishonim say, Meiri, the Ramach say, that since the work actually is worth four, so they should pay them four, even though he has a right to offer less and they accepted less, but since the work is worth four, that is the appropriate price. So why move away from four? Not entirely clear whether they mean four is within the range of acceptable prices, but three is also, or even simpler, they mean four is the real price and three is an unfairly low price. But at least in the latter case, who asked you to say three? If four is the right price, not three. So that's what makes it unfair. There's actually a third shot. One of the Achronim says, the Mishchas Aaron says, in a Chanami, in a normal circumstance, but two equal players of equal economic status, you can prefer either one. There's no preference of one more than the other, al pi halacha. But, as we discussed in previous times, Baal HaBayis typically is someone who's well off. The employer, the boss, is typically someone who's in a higher rung of the socioeconomic ladder. The Poalim typically are poor. So that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means, if you have a choice, you should be on the side of the ones who need the money more rather than he who needs the money less. A fourth shot, which I didn't see anyone say, but it would seem to be a pretty obvious way to learn the Gemara, is simply Shev Al Tasek. In other areas of Halacha also, a person has a dilemma between two equally valid alternatives. We say Shev Al Tasek, don't do anything. So here, where the deal is heading for four, he told you four, the path of least resistance, it's not literally Shev Al Tasek, you do have to transmit the order of four, but that's simply the path of least resistance. You're not doing anything. You're simply relaying the offer that was made. So don't meddle. Don't mix in. Just let things go the way they're going without interfering and trying to be a chacham. So these are the various ways you could understand this gemara. So be that as it may, various contemporary achronim have tried to apply this gemara to cases, the cases we discussed. For example, suggesting to a likely customer of a store, you can do better somewhere else. So the Gemara seems to say, you should not do that. If someone is offering to pay a certain price, in general, you should not do him a favor and convince and get a better deal for him if you're doing so at the expense of somebody else. However, as we've seen, there are different ways to learn this Gemara. The Ritva says the Pshat of the Gemara is only because he explicitly committed to four, where he could have just said, get me the best price. A customer in a store, he knows he'll end up paying whatever the price is on the shelf. He sees the price and is willing to pay it, but he didn't take the initiative and offer four. So some say that the case of the Gemara, the rule of the Gemara would not apply to such a case. You know, Shev Al Tasek, if you understand like that, that probably would apply in such a case. The other svara that it's a question of is for the fair price or not, that would depend. If this store is priced unusually high, then perhaps you should tell him to go somewhere else. If this price is a perfectly fair price, just there happens to be a deep discounter somewhere else, then maybe you should not, just like the Gemara. So this is one approach. At the end of the day, it's inconclusive. There are various contemporary achronim who say that based on this Gemara, you should not attempt to convince, to seduce customers, not seduce, not doing it for your own gain, but you should not attempt to dissuade parties to a transaction against doing a transaction they're prepared to do, even if it benefits them at the expense of someone else. Others say that there's no real connection to the Gemara. Certainly, if you say the Gemara is a special svara because they're aniyim and they're not, then it depends. Sometimes the store owner is more successful and the customer is poor, and sometimes vice versa. It would depend on the context.
Do they also have a discussion about whether the owner store is Jewish or not?
Yes. So most of these concerns, this and the other things we're going to discuss, I'm pretty sure would not apply to a non-Jewish store owner. Again, we don't cheat non-Jews. We don't steal from them. But these kinds of protections of I don't have a raya for sure, but my inclination would be that this thing of a Paskin Mishlei and Inin of Altima and Tov Mibalov, I imagine would not apply to a non-Jewish store, although I don't have an actual source for that offhand.
Would family be different?
Excellent point. We'll get to that in a minute. So a second concern in which that becomes relevant is a Gemara called Archei HaDayanim. Archei HaDayanim is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I'll pass Asim Chak Archei HaDayanim. But in addition to that Mishnah, it's also a Gemara that occurs in a couple of places in Ksuvos, Daf Nun Beis, Daf Pei Vav, Shalmi also. There are different cases, but basically speaking, the cases in the Gemara are two people are jockeying for economic advantage, and you, an outsider, suggest to one of them a way, a claim you can make, not a question of lying or telling them, there's no question of sheker or of doing anything wrong, but you can give them advice, economic or legal advice, that'll allow him to prevail over the other party. So for example, one of the cases in Daf Nun Beis, Gemara talks about a certain case of an almana who has medical bills. Now in certain types of medical bills, the almana is entitled to get from the estate of her husband. Certain types of bills she is not. Specifically, if it is ein la kitzva, if it's an ongoing bill that she's entitled to take from the estate. If it's yesh la kitzva, if it's a one-shot bill, a lump sum, she's not entitled to get that. So Rabbi Yochanan says, gave advice to a relative of his. His relatives were the people who had the estate. They didn't want to pay these bills. He told them, convince the doctor, instead of charging fee for service on an ongoing basis, get him to give you a lump sum contract for the lifetime services. At that point, it'll become refuah sheyesh la kitzva, and you'll be potter. So without getting into all the details of Ibn Ezra about how that works, the point is he gave legal advice to a relative in a way that allowed him to prevail over his adversary. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I did the wrong thing. Afterwards he says, I was not correct. I behaved incorrectly. I acted as a lawyer, which apparently there's something wrong with that. The Gemara says, Meikara Maikasavar Basav Maikasavar. What did he think initially, and then what did he change his mind? So initially he thought, this is what you were saying, he thought, Mibasar Chalotis Alan, another pasuk in Yeshaya, that a person has a mitzvah not to abandon, not to look away from his relatives. So even though there is normally an ending of Archei HaDayanim when it comes to a relative that's suspended, Basav Kasavar Adam Chashav Shaini. That Adam Chashav has an extra responsibility, shouldn't lower himself to the level of a lawyer and shouldn't do that. But anyway, the point of the Gemara seems to be Archei HaDayanim is normally usur. You shouldn't normally meddle and help someone out, help one Jew out at the expense of another, unless one is your relative. So indeed, that's a makar. So some achronim, some again, contemporary achronim, use this Gemara of the injunction against being Archei HaDayanim as a reason to not help out the customer against the seller or anything like that. Unless, Mubsar Chaltas Alim, there are many contemporary Akronim who say that insofar as the person you're helping is your relative, then you have a heter based on this Gemara that if it's your relative, things are different.
So Rabbi should not do that though?
Adam Chashav, you mean it would also seem to be that Adam Chashav should not. So yeah, that would seem to be a logical corollary that if you're Adam Chashav, you should avoid even helping your relative. Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone says that specifically, but that would seem to make sense.